Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And greetings to you, Southern California. Welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, maybe the 90s, maybe the phenomenon of the 21st century. I apologize for the show that was just on. I'm just kidding. God bless you, Ron. Go get some therapy. Okay. Hey, we got a topic for you today, and we are following up on last week's topic. Today's topic is called Examples of Planetary Correlations. So an outstanding, exciting, exuberant topic on basic astrology and how to figure out what planets mean in their signs and houses. We're going to talk about actually how to become more astrologically aware today. And this is very exciting for me because this is a topic that I rarely do, but is so important. Now, more than anything else, this talk show is a show that's set up to help people. And you know, a lot of people call up and they can't think of anything else in their life but career and relationships. And I know that a lot of people have problems because we're human. And I want to hear about your problems. Just like any other talk show host, like Dr. Ruth or other people, they call up and they're in trouble and they need help. They need assistance. So more than anything else, you should really use this show to try to help me figure out some of your problems. I know your life is more than just career and relationships. So today, more than anything else, let's be specific. And if you're in trouble or if you need help, or if you're having a problem in your life, it may even be psychological. Also, if you'd like to participate in the topic and you'd like me to take a look at one of your planetary combinations, one planet you have in house sign and by aspect, as part of the topic, I'll be happy to take a look at that for you. Okay, everybody, let's take a look at this topic here. First of all, in order to understand astrology, you must know your correlations. You can't understand astrology unless you know your correlations. And this has everything to do with sitting down and memorizing some key points. We had a great show on Friday. It was called Basic Planetary Definitions, when we went over the epitome of what each planet and what sign that planet rules, basically what that means. And you have to have that show memorized almost in order to really handle this show, which is part two of that issue. And basically, what we're talking about when we talk about correlations, in my opinion, is mixing things. Working two separate entities together and coming up with one. It's almost like an American Indian woman marrying maybe an Eastern Indian man and having a baby, and the correlation would be that baby that they just correlated together. It's just like saying you have basically 11 factors we talk about in an astrology chart, very, very basic factors, the sun sign, the moon sign, the rising, which is also called ascendant, and then the eight planets besides the Earth, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And then we have the 12 signs of the zodiac, which you should have memorized by now. If you can't say them in order by memorization, then take my advice and memorize them. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. Now, the purpose of this topic is to try to help you figure out what any number, what any single planet may mean in any one of the 12 signs. In other words, we're going to talk about how you can figure out what it means to have Moon in any one of the 12 signs or Mercury in any one of the 12 signs. And I want to show you how easy it is. Because if you know what all the basic keywords are for each of the planets, the Sun, Moon, and Rising, and then you have all the keywords down for the epitome of what sign means, then instead of looking up in books and try to figuring things out, you can literally master astrology and get on the road to understanding astrology just the way Farley Malaris did and does every day. Let's take an example. Let's take Saturn. Now, everybody should know by now, if you listen to this show, that Saturn is a planet that affects major lesson in life, major karma in life, what we were born to experience. So logic, okay, and we're talking about obvious logic today, which is something that I love to discuss. Logic dictates that if you memorize what the basic meaning of each of the 12 signs are, and then you look at someone's chart and notice that they have Saturn in that sign, then obviously they would have a problem or a karma concerning the energy that is delivered from that particular zodiac sign. Let's take a look. Aries is a sign of life force, of energy, of power, of war, of aggression, of self-realization, of love, of childhood. So if you have Saturn in that sign of Aries, you got it. The correlation is Saturn being showing us what the problem is in that person's chart. This person would have a problem with their Aries factor, which is themselves, their personal security, maybe their childhood, maybe their appearance, maybe their personal energy, maybe they lack all that. See how it works? And then let's say a person would have Saturn in the next sign, in Taurus, and Taurus ruling values and money and affection and values, worth. Actually, Taurus, in my opinion, more than anything else, would represent importance of life. And when Saturn's in that sign, the host of Saturn and Taurus, maybe they would never know what's important. Maybe they would become obsessed, and abuse money and finances and love. See how it works? This show, one of the reasons why I encourage people to listen to the Astrology Hour on Monday, which happens to be the lowest frequency show of the week because people are trying to recover from their weekends, but I frankly think that we have the best topics on Monday. So I really do encourage you to listen to Monday's shows if you really want to get this stuff down. But let's continue. Okay, now Gemini is a sign of psychology. Now, wait a second. On the other hand, let's throw a double whammy at you here. See, Saturn is the planet of karma, and Jupiter is the planet of philosophy and expansion. It's like Jupiter expands and Saturn contracts. So you see the difference? Whereas Saturn would show a problem in Aries with the self, Jupiter in Aries would give the total opposite. That would expand personal energy. That would expand self-esteem, and that might make childhood fun. See? And whereas Saturn would abuse those Taurian factors, Jupiter would expand that and probably give person a tremendously ethical and powerfully positive value in life and worth of life. Like Gemini is a sign of psychology. A lot of people, including my sister, that have Saturn in Gemini that may have a karma, right? Major lesson concerning psychology, communication, therapeutic values of the mind and such. And I'll give you an idea here. People born 1942 and 43 and part of 44, tremendous chunk of that generation became therapists. Did you know that? Yeah, I know a lot of people that are therapists because they have Saturn in Gemini. But frankly, not to put them down, but if you met somebody with Jupiter in Gemini, they might not become psychologists or therapists. However, they would be possibly even more qualified because instead of having a karma in that area, because Jupiter is an expansive philosophical planet, instead of having to learn psychology, those people are almost like naturals. Isn't it fun? And that's why people with Saturn and Gemini, a lot of them get into psychology and therapy to try to figure out their own major lessons in life. This topic of examples of planetary correlations is positive because if you study that study guide that we include with your charts, the study guide that is called How Horoscopes Work, then obviously you are going to master the meanings of the planets, the meanings of the signs, and start to understand what it means correlations. We actually print the correlations for you in your astroscope as we list your planets. We tell you what it means to have Saturn in Gemini. Let's continue. Cancer is a sign that epitomizes emotion, and it epitomizes security and the home and the family. So Saturn in that sign would create a karma emotionally, might make someone colder, might make someone insensitive, might create a problem with home and residence or mother. But Jupiter would expand and maybe bless someone in that area emotionally, give them the nurturing and the shoulder to fall back on, and the ability to create home and residence. My sister also has Jupiter in Cancer, Saturn in Gemini, so she does have a beautiful home. In fact, she just sold it. But unlike me, she's always been blessed with a nice residence and a beautiful home, which I've been kind of jealous of. I have Jupiter in Sag, so I've been blessed with my optimism. And then, let's say, for example, that somebody has Saturn in Leo. They might have a problem with family and creativity and children and authority, leadership, and also weirdos that they might meet here or there. But see, Jupiter in Leo, Jupiter, on the other hand, would expand this area. See, I say weirdo sometimes because sometimes you'll meet someone of a negative Leonine trait who might try to dominate you or rule you or manipulate you, and you'd have a problem with this person. Whereas Jupiter would expand Leo. See, right away people are saying, Farley, what if you have Jupiter and Saturn both in Leo? Well, then you have the best and the worst together. You may have a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction and get an overindulgence of that energy in your life, and at the same time have like a roller coaster effect where it's also removed from you. So it's very heavy. So Saturn contracts what the energy of a sign is, and Jupiter expands. Now, we're going to talk more about the rest of the planets. We still have to talk about the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and then Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And then we're going to take some of your calls. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, now, the moon, as you know, if you listen to Friday's show or if you read our study guides, is the emotional karma factor and your mother. So obviously, you can find out a heck of a lot about your or anyone's emotions by taking a look at the epitome of what that sign is. We combine the moon, which means this is how a person feels, with the zodiac energy involved, and that shows us the emotions. The Aries moon person is going to be right out front. They're going to be either very optimistic or very angry, because Aries is a fire sign, it's aggressive, and with the moon in that sign, very emotional. So you want to keep Aries moon people happy, and you also want to give them lots of projects, because they will get that stuff done as long as they're having a good time. When the moon's in Taurus, we say that the moon is exalted. Frankly, the best sign to have your moon is Taurus, because emotionally these people appear to be the most grounded, the most stable, the most secure, unless their moons are horribly afflicted, because Taurus is a loving sign, it's an affectionate sign, it's a nurturing sign, and it's grounded. We combine that energy with the moon, which is emotions, and it comes up to be very good. The Gemini moon, see, Gemini rules talking and nerves. So when you find people with Gemini moons, they talk a lot, and they're nervous. And they also are people that you'll see on TV, on radio, as telephone operators, people that emotionally, in order to feel good, need to express themselves. So unless that Gemini moon's hidden in the 4th, 8th, or 12th houses, most of the times they're going to be very extrovert and very talkative. Now, moon in Cancer, Cancer is the lord of the moon, right? Moon is lord of Cancer, that is, and Cancer is the most emotional sign. So we find Cancer moons can reflect almost any moon, given their mood. So we do find Cancer moons to be very nurturing, very puppy dogish, very romantic, the epitome of what Cancer is. See how it works? So the correlation, it's always combinations of what the planet means with the epitome of what the sign means to try to figure it out. So then we have Leo, and moon in Leo. Leo, very extrovert, very authoritarian, very leadership, directorial. So people with Leo moons emotionally are going to be at their best when they're in charge, when they're running. So there's nothing worse than an unemployed or non-working Leo moon. Talk about intense frustration. One of my pals has got a Leo moon. This guy should be running and was running a corporation, and that I sense his frustration on a regular basis too. But Leo moons need to be creative to feel good about themselves, and they need to have fun. Let's go to the end of the zodiac, the Pisces moon. Emotionally, we combine the moon with the Pisces sign, Pisces being an intuitive sign, Pisces moon, or will be the most intuitive or psychic moon. That's why you can't fool Pisces moons. Also very sensitive, just like Pisces, very romantic like Pisces, and possibly sexual or spiritual or self-destructive, depending on what their choices are. The Aquarius moon can be hot and cold, bizarre, strange, a best friend, somebody that also may be talkative or at least intense as far as their mind is concerned, very scientific in many ways, and also somebody that will throw a lot of diversity and variety at you emotionally. So, you know, just continue these combinations here. You can learn all your correlations, like I say, by mastering what all the planets mean, by mastering what all the signs mean, and then by combining them, and then you'll figure out what it all means, hopefully. Let's take the Sagittarius moon. Well, Sagittarius is the sign of freedom and the sign of optimism and travel, and therefore emotionally Sag moons will feel their best when they're free, when they're happy, and when they travel. See how it works? And then the Capricorn moon, career. Capricorn's career and karma. So Capricorn moons put themselves through a lot of career involvement and a lot of suffering, usually in order to evolve emotionally. See how it works? The Scorpio moon is the worst placing. That's where mine is. The moon is said to be in fall in Scorpio. And it is hardest for us Scorpio moons to get in touch with our emotions, because Scorpio is such a mysterious, deep, intense sign that you take your emotions and put it in that sign, and it's like, where's my emotions? I don't know. Who knows where they are? But at least we're sensitive, passionate, compassionate, and we try. We try to figure things out. But you see, the purpose of this show, more than anything else, is to teach you about correlations. You can take any planet. Let's say Venus. Venus telling us our financial picture, and women that we'll be attracted to in our lives, no matter who we are. And let's just take a wild example here. Venus in Virgo. Okay, Venus in Virgo, which means that our values from Venus and the types of women we'd be attracted to will be Virgo factor types, which means they may be, of course, clean, healthy, from the Virgo energy, ethical, practical, critical, detective-like. See how it works? I mean, it's so ridiculously easy. Once you get down the meanings of the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and the rising sign, then you get down the 12 signs of the zodiac, you can take any two combinations, any planet and any sign, and logically start to understand how astrology works. Let's take Mars. Let's throw Mars into Pisces. So obviously, our life force is going to be psychic, because Mars is the life force, right? And Pisces is a psychic energy. And the type of men we're going to attract will also be the ones we would like the best, would also be psychic and sensitive and intuitive, maybe spiritual, or if we've made the wrong choices, could be addicted to drugs and alcohol. That's right. A lot of women that are heterosexual and men that are gay that have Mars in Pisces are supposed to be with spiritual men, but on the wrong side of the fence may end up with drug addicts or alcoholics. Because people that are very spiritual sometimes run away into the bottle or into the joint or the coke or whatever, and they get lost. So that's another interesting option to the correlation. And then, let's say Mercury is a planet that rules how we communicate, how we think. So if somebody has Mercury in Leo, they're going to be very creative and very dramatical. And that's how they communicate, just like that. A person with Mercury in Virgo has that Virgo mind, that detective mind, that accountant, that analyst, that person with figures that can figure things out, the mechanic, the surgeon. See how it works? Somebody with Mercury in Scorpio also might be a surgeon, somebody very deep, somebody into strange things like bizarre comic books or science fiction or occult movies or whatever. Somebody might have Mercury in Aries and they'll be very direct and very outspoken, very extrovert, very energetic mentally. So, you know, I do suggest if you really want to get your correlations down, then pick up one of these two books. These people really lay the correlations out. Either Astrology for Yourself by Douglas Block or Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith. And the best book I've ever seen just about on the subject is The New Complete Astrologer by Derek Parker. But remember, astrology is a science of correlations. And if you got your planets down, and if you got your signs down, then the one thing you want to look at for every planet is, number one, what sign it's in. Number two, what we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show, what house it's in, because there's also a house influence. And then number three, how it's aspected. Those are the basics to astrology, understanding planets and signs, planets and houses, and planets by aspect. That's why when we give you an astroscope, that's what your term paper actually goes over for you. It explains to you what signs your planets are in, and paragraphs on what that means. It explains to you what houses your planets are in and what that paragraph that means. And then it explains all the major aspects to your planets and what that means. You put it all together and it comes up with you, your identity, your illusion of separation, your uniqueness, your division from the God force, and your humanity. And it's a wonderful science of self-realization coming highly recommended from Farley Malaris to you. I think you'll enjoy it. I was reading about my forecast. And I noticed that I'm having a Neptune square Neptune. So it says, you're experiencing an aspect of the midlife crisis now. You may feel inner yearnings, emotions, and dreams, which you haven't had since adolescence. You must determine if your way of life is satisfying your spiritual or true needs. It's so true. It peaks April 30th. We'll see what happens. I'm Farley Malaris, and welcome to an exciting edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And you know, we come up with these topics because, intuitively speaking, I decide what is most necessary for the entire group of people listening to the program. A lot of beginners out there, a lot of people have been waiting to hear these topics on how to understand planets and charts a lot better. So this is my gift to you. A topic, examples of planetary correlations, another excellent show to record and have in your diary or your file.